Recording in
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
All right, pal. Hey, Linda, I'm going to stay on mute because I'm driving.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Mike, you got my email today, apparently.
Yeah. So it works sometimes, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. I don't know what the optimum email problem is, but I have to call and complain. I think it's the Russians.
Always the Russians.
They'll probably blame the Russians.
Oh, yeah. They're very interested in Mike Novellino's emails and your wife's too, because hers probably being kicked back too, right?
She says yes. I should change my name. I'm not her. Rename myself. How'd that happen?
You can just write chairman. You'd be very
No need to do that. And it could be one of those denial of service attacks where the spammers are trying to get even with Optimum for putting a spam filter in.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm here.
I don't know. I still get a ton of spam anyway.
Yeah, I don't get that much.
Probably get more phone calls than anything else.
Oh, those are so annoying. I don't even answer my house phone anymore.
Oh, I don't even know our house phone number.
I know it because that's the one I give out to everyone I don't want to talk to.
Do you ever get the phone calls that have the exact same cell phone number that you have?
No, I haven't gotten that one yet.
I've gotten that before on my cell. Incoming call is my cell phone number.
Yeah. I get the ones in Mandarin Chinese. Have you gotten those?
No.
Yeah. As soon as I hear ni hao, I hang up.
I've renewed my call warranty about 8 times in the last 2 months. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, those people have been on me for months, too.
It's like 3 cars ago, they're still calling me.
They've given me about 100 last courtesy calls before my warranty expires and my car may blow up and I'm fully responsible for it.
At least they're very courteous about that.
Well, the best part is it's sometimes cars that I haven't leased in like 14 years. They keep calling me about the warranty.
Yeah. Well, they don't even tell me what car. I don't think they even know what car it is.
No.
All right.
If you just say your car, it carries.
Is that the correct legal definition of that?
Yeah, it's like rollover minutes.
You have to speak like a lawyer now. Stop.
Hey, Mark, what are you doing on this call? You're supposed to be studying for the bar.
Yeah, this is my break.
Oh, okay. All right. Then it's okay.
Congratulations, Mark.
No, guys, I appreciate that.
Are you just taking New Jersey or taking New Jersey and PA or New Jersey and New York?
I'm taking just New Jersey. New Jersey's UBE and PA is about to switch to UBE next year. So I'll be able to, they're thinking it's all going to be 266, like, cause everyone is like in this area.
Okay.
So if I have to carry it over, I'll carry it over, but it all depends. Probably PA is most likely just cause it's a little cheaper living there than New York. If I do want to make a move.
I have my New York license. I haven't used it in 27 years, I think. And they just found me and they wanted like thousands of dollars for me to reactivate. I'm like, not happening.
What? For what?
Because I was active for like the first 2 years and then every year you're a lawyer, you got to pay money. You're just like anything else. So I haven't paid in 20 plus years in New York and they wanted all this money. Like, I don't practice in New York. You ain't getting a dime from me. is New Jersey still 6 essays and the 200 multi-state?
Yeah, 200 multi-state, 6 essays, and I think 2 MPTs.
Okay. The biggest thing about the multi-state is taking practice tests and knowing your time. Skipping questions. You have 100 questions for 3 hours. So that's minute and change per question. First, I only took the bar exam once, thank God. But the first, I sat down for New York and Tuesday, multi-state Wednesday. I sat down Wednesday, you know, I was in Edison and I'm sitting next to a guy. He's like, oh, this is my fourth time. This is really hard. And of course, that scared the living hell out of me. So I take the 3 hours. I get the 100 questions done. I have enough time to go back and check some of my questions I went through. And I looked over to the guy who freaked me out. When the guy's like 3 minutes left, he had like 40 questions done.
What?
He just gets involved in it. You just got to be, if it's over 2 minutes on a question, just move on. Don't get bogged down in any questions. Just move on. And
my time.
Check that you may want to go back to it because it's not worth wasting your time on one question when you get 3 others done.
Yeah, no, it's all online and I just did with Barbary, I just did the practice MBE, the 200 questions, like a full one, 3 hours each. My time was good. I finished both 100 question sets with like at least 20 minutes left.
Good.
And I think I got like a 123 raw. So I'm still with a month out. So, I mean, I was just speaking to my professor. She was like, look, if you got a month to go and you're at 123, like you're going to be fine. Just keep going and keep studying. So.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. But no, in timing wise, I'm pretty good. I just got to get more familiar with, just the rules. I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty good with them, but it's just certain questions I get stuck where I'm like, kind of just stuck between one or the other.
Yeah. And, by the way, if you see a question on the rule of perpetuities, just skip it. Go on to the next question.
Yeah, no, I've given up on the rule of perpetuity.
Just skip it. I think the rule. Move on.
The rule, that and Persterbies, I'm like, forget Persterbies. I'm over it.
Right. Yeah, you get bogged down in those.
Yeah, so that, I mean, for me, the other thing is like essay questions I got to work on my time with. That's the one thing. Just because I get bogged down with just trying to answer it too full. So,
right.
But it's all in due time.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're at the bewitching hour here, or a minute past. So why don't we try and get started. Bring up the agenda. And I guess I'm going to call this meeting to order. I don't think Mr. Balthamis is going to make it. Does anyone else want to read the adequate notice? Does anyone have it handy? Okay.
I have it.
Okay, great.
Let the minutes show that adequate notice of this meeting as required by PL 1975, Chapter 231, has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Times of Trenton, posted on the Township Bulletin Board and filed with the Township Clerk on the same date.
Okay. Thanks, Linda. And I'd like to do a flag salute now, after which we will stand for a moment of in silence and respect for those who currently serve our country and those who have served in the past. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thanks everyone. And can we have a roll call, please, Linda?
Vice Chairman Barthelmess is absent. Mr. Conocente?
Here.
Mr. Lambros?
Here.
Mr. Morelli?
Here.
Mr. Mostyn?
Here.
Chairman Novellino?
Here.
Mr. Mangiano?
Here.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Here.
And you missed Mr. Ferrara. He's okay. Absent, though.
Okay.
First up is approval of our minutes from the May 26th meeting. These came out via email, which I initially didn't get, but finally got. And they look fine to me. So nice job on those, Linda. And I don't have any issues with them. Does anybody need more time to review those minutes?
Nope.
Okay. Any issues with the minutes? Changes anyone wants? No, not hearing any. So I'd like to ask for a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll make it.
Thanks, Mr. Morelli. And can we get a second, please?
Also, I can. Oh, sorry.
All right. I think Mr. Mangano was there first.
Yeah, good.
Okay, and can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Mr. Mangiano?
Yes.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Next up is a resolution for our application from the May meeting. This was a 315 square foot addition, Michael and Edwina Ripoli. This resolution did come out via email earlier this week. I did review it. I think I had one minor issue with it. There was one paragraph that was blank, but
yeah, Mr. Chairman,
fixed.
Yes, paragraph number 10 is when I was deleting stuff. I missed it, so I deleted that, and the revised has been provided.
Okay, great. I mean, I thought it was just a typo, so that's fine. Anybody need more time to review that resolution? Anybody have any issues with it? Okay, so I'd like to ask for a motion to approve that resolution then.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. And can we get a second, please?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Steve. And Linda, can we have a roll call?
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
Chairman Novellina?
Yes.
Mr. Mangiano?
Yes.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that brings us to a new application, which we're not going to hear tonight. And Greg, why don't you fill us in on what happened there?
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, this is not an application. It's an appeal of the zoning office determination by the applicant, Kevin Youngs. Mr. Young filed for zoning permits to build an addition. That was denied with the determination that it was creating a two-family home. When he appealed that decision to the board, prior to he got denied once, made a change, went back and got second determination. And in reviewing the reports, Ms. McKinley again confirmed that the plans did not reflect that the addition was had access from the interior of the home, as board members saw in her report, and as I read as well. So I called the attorney the other day, said, you don't have no access, what's going on? He's like, what are you talking about? Our plans had a 6-foot access between the rooms. And I wasn't at home when he told me that. I go, I'll go look my plans today and see what it is. So apparently when I got to the office today, apparently when the architect submitted revised plans, he put a note that there was a 6-foot access, but he didn't change the architectural plans. There's still a solid wall on one part of the plans, and the electrical, there's still a solid wall. So the zoning officer most likely never even saw the revisions that he says was the kind of the basis for his appeal. So I talked to the attorney, and it's not like this is an appeal. It's not like an application where they could come to the board and say, okay, I'll move the shed 10 feet. I'll reduce the addition. I'll reduce the variance. You can't do that on appeal. It's whatever was before the zoning officer. So what the attorney, I talked to the attorney. He's asking the case be carried 30 days so he could get with his architect, meet with the zoning officer, meet with Matt, and correct those plans and potentially resubmit to the zoning officer for a new determination. Most likely this appeal will go away and there'll either be an approval or a appeal with all the evidence confirmed. What you get from that, this application is not going tonight. We're going to carry it for 30 days while the applicant resubmits and modifies their plans and sends it back to the zoning officer for a determination. And whatever happens from there, we'll see what happens.
Right.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions with that?
Greg, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is it your opinion that any home in Millstone can be turned into like a mother-daughter type thing without anything other than a construction permit?
Mother-daughter is not a legal word.
I'm using a phrase that everybody's familiar with.
Exactly. I could tell you that every town has different ordinances that deal with this quote unquote mother daughter. Okay. And a lot of them, I'll give you Middletown. I've dealt with that for 25 years is we have certain requirements of size, what's included, unfettered access between the main area and the quote-unquote mother-in-law suite or mother suite, whatever you want to call it, plus deed restrictions, okay? Every town deals with it differently. Could someone build an addition? Of course they could build an addition. But at some point where what they provide and how they build it, it could morph into potential two-family structure. And that's what always the concern is because they're in single-family zones, that there's got to be some protection. It's never the applicant that comes before the board that we generally have a problem with. usually the comment says, I got to get my mother-in-law in there, my mother in there, and this is what we're providing for. That's not the problem. And the fact that the mother or mother-in-law wants to come in is not, means nothing for the law. We have to be concerned about the next person that buys it and how they may use that property. When they see that, oh, that's a mother-in-law suite. No, that's secondary income. I don't want to, am I not answering your question directly? Yeah, because without particular plans and a specific design, it's hard, I can't answer your question because it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it looks like an interior suite where there's no exterior entrance, there is no doors between the living area and the suite area, but they have some amenities for the mother, yeah, that's acceptable. That's normal. But when you get situations where there's no access between the units, there's an exterior door, there's a full livable area with all amenities, kitchen, bathroom, washer, dryer, we're moving the line closer to being a duck. Mm-hmm. And that's why I talked to Matt, and I think McKinley has talked to the town that this is becoming an issue, not only in Millstone, but in other towns due to COVID. Having either A, for additional income, or B, having people come back and live there because they don't need to live in certain areas. That the town is best to create a specific ordinance to deal with that rather than dealing with it piecemeal. You know, that it's, they should simply that, and I presume McKinley has talked to the town. I've already talked to Matt about it. Then potentially grasping with this and say, hey, here's what we have. Let's tweak it a little. We have ordinances that prohibit the two unit places. Okay. That's not an issue. But if we want to expand it to make it permissible with certain parameters, that's the township's determination for an ordinance. They may say no exterior entrance, unfettered access. You could have a bathroom, a kitchen. You can't have a washer. You got a washer. Whatever they say, that's the best way to deal with it and deal with it piecemeal matter. I didn't answer your question at all, Steve. I understand that.
No, I got it. I just think it's a slippery slope when anybody that owns a home in Millstone feels that they can turn it into one of these potential two family dwellings.
That's why the town needs to create, if they don't have a specific ordinance to deal with the issue.
Right. Okay. I realize that even if there's an ordinance, there's still the constitutional right that a landowner or a homeowner can come before the Board of Adjustment and ask for relief. And that's okay. But I'm just curious. I'm just asking what your opinion was, because the code and the construction official, if it meets somewhat of the criteria that you're discussing right now, they might just rubber stamp it. And then before you know, you have, 50, 60, 70 or 100 of these things in town.
Well, I think
one more.
Well, I think that's what happened here, though. The zoning officer didn't rubber stamp it.
Right.
They said no twice. So I don't think that's the situation we have. And Matt knows a lot more about it than I do. But the reason why they're before us, because it wasn't rubber stamped.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Well, yeah, okay. I guess, my own experience with this, and, I know a few people in town that have these types of arrangements, where they have a second kitchen, they have, an area, for the mother, mother-in-law, or both parents in some instances to live within the house. And you have multiple generations living together. And what's been done in the past, to my knowledge, is they've always required that access to any of these facilities or units comes through the main house. And as long as there's no second front door, it's been permitted. And again, I don't know if we've tightened that up lately or not, but, these things are out there already, Steve. I know it for a fact. Mm-hmm. And
I'm familiar with some of them.
Yeah. And again, I personally, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think the idea of providing the capabilities for people to bring their parents in is good, you know, for families in general. But again, you know, we have to be careful, like Greg said, that we don't turn it into an opportunity for someone to have an illegal apartment. And, you know, somehow we've got to strike that balance in our ordinances. And, you know, I haven't looked into the ordinances, but it sounds like McKinley and Matt have. And, you know, I hope, you know, that the township committee takes your recommendations and, you know, we get some clarity around, going forward, how we're going to manage this. And, again, I hope it enables people to actually have their parents come and live with them. It's not overly restrictive to prevent that. But, you know, by the same token, we do need to make sure we're not creating illegal apartments in town. You know, clearly that's a detriment to the town.
As I said, it's always the next person down the line right. that says, I buy it and I'm going to use it as an apartment.
And again, you know, the idea of a deed restriction, Greg, I don't know if that really has a lot of teeth in it and that's a good thing to do or not. But, you know, whatever works, I think, you know, we should try.
What the deed restriction does, it puts everyone on notice that you can't rent it out. And what happens in the real world is it stops the realtors. If the realtors puts on MLS, you know, opportunity for a two-family unit in Millstone, right? Separate unit. Greg Vella comes in, says, oh, that's a great idea. I get into a contract with that. When my lawyer does the title work, they get a copy of that deed. And maybe that's part of the agreement that says, hey, it's conditioned on being able to rent out this unit. Then when I get the title work in my title binder, they'll say, subject to a deed restriction, rented out or used for rented out to third parties or anything else. So my lawyer would say to me, hey, Greg, you can't do what you thought you could do. So that's where it gets on notice. Now, doesn't mean I'd even care and I still may do it. But it does put some checks and balances down the line to put people on notice that they can't do it in these type of, when you're allowing some type of improvement like that, you're going to put the world on notice that they can't rent this out in the future.
Is there a restriction on my deed in general that my home can only be a single family home?
No. Generally, no. Generally, no. That's what the zoning is. Now, Millstone could zone your neighborhood or your zone multifamily. They have the right to do that.
Right.
You know, unless you have a specific deed restricting your property, you then go to the underlying zoning.
Right. The underlying zoning right now in the residential district is single family homes.
Right. Okay. So you couldn't get two COs. For a house.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, I don't think we need to debate it anymore, until it comes before us, and hopefully it won't. And again, you know, McKinley and tell Matt too, if you guys, you know, need me to support, whatever it is you guys are proposing to clear up, I mean, be happy to, you know, give people my opinion on it. I think what you're proposing makes a lot of sense and would be a benefit to this board. I don't want to see a lot of these I don't want to see any of these applications come in for mother daughter homes. I think we could handle it, in ordinances and that's the best way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate that. And that's what we're going for. That's the goal. I can, you know, there's a lot of gray areas we're trying to work out, but I can say that the township zoning officer, Nick, is being extremely diligent when these applications come in. He and Matt really do pore over them to determine if there's any possibility it could be turned into another unit. So, your township is in good hands with him. I really do think he is trying to weed through these. of course, it's the applicant's, you know, it's, they're allowed to come here and appeal that decision, but he has denied dozens of these already. And they just have not decided to appeal. So while we're waiting, you know, working with the committee, trying to get an ordinance set up, he is doing a very good job trying to fend off some of these.
Okay. That's good to know. And again, you know, if the appeal comes here, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to overturn the judgment of a zoning officer unless he's doing something egregious personally, but you know, we have to consider it if it comes. Yeah, so, all right. Do we have any new business?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, before we move on that, I just want to make the announcement. This is a hearing, so this application is going to be carried to the July 28, 2021 meeting at 7:30 p.m. without further notice. But that leads us to the next question. We're going to do July here or July in Millstone?
Well, I don't know. That's an excellent question. What do we have on tap for July, Linda?
Just one other pending application, which hasn't been deemed complete yet, but more than likely probably will be for July.
Okay. And just so everyone knows, I'm on vacation in July, so if it's not Zoom, I won't be there. But we'll have to check with Mr. Balthamis and see if he's available to run that meeting. Okay.
Well, does the board have any concern about going back to a public meeting?
I'll speak for myself. I
do not have an objection to being in a public meeting.
Are they going to remove that bulletproof glass in front of the dais?
You feel safer behind it, Steve?
No, I'd like it to be gone. It looks pretty annoying.
No one's fired at us yet. So I agree.
Well, we're not teaching critical race theory, so we're all right.
Oh, God, let's not talk about that.
So maybe.
Now, I'm assuming it's going to come down, right? I mean.
I don't know if anyone on this call can answer that question. I would hope so. You know, again, if we're going to do in person, I'll ask about it if it's a concern to you. But again, I would prefer in person personally over Zoom in most cases, except if it's just adopting a resolution. And again, are we going to have the option going forward to do Zoom, or at some point are we going to have to go back to regular?
Well, as of now, you have the option. I'm not sure they're going to get rid of this option anytime in the future, but I can tell you my three other boards and governmental entities are all moving to full public meetings starting July or August. Just because, and with no Zoom component. The reason why there's no Zoom component, we've learned that the hybrid method of hearings does not work well. We don't have technology for multi-camera, multi-microphone situations. So we're all just going back to work as normal. Mm-hmm. And we usually, my zoning boards and planning boards, are following what our governing body's doing. So in all those municipalities, the governing body is going to full public. I don't know what Millstone's doing for their committee, whether they're still.
I'm pretty sure they're still on Zoom at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know the planning board has decided, given various vacation schedules, to wait until September, I think. Right, Linda? They were going to talk about it in August?
Yeah.
Yeah. My boards are sort of split that way. About half of them are going back in July, and half of them, because people have already done vacation scheduling, have decided that they'll just wait for the fall. But again, mine are all with Greg. Nobody's doing hybrid at this point, but some are considering, like, if there's just a resolution announcing it as a Zoom kind of thing, but that hasn't come up yet.
The chairman hit on a good point, though. You know, some of the, you know, if we're just going to pass a resolution and have a general conversation, maybe like tonight, then a Zoom meeting is good. Some of the applications are complex with multiple exhibits and multiple expert witnesses and stuff like that. where I always felt it would be an advantage to be in person. I realized that we weren't able to, but this, you know, I'm hopeful that we're going to come out of this thing, you know, pretty strong from here on out. And I'm personally, just personally for me, I have no problem with being in with the public.
Okay.
But I do like the option that the chairman brings up, that if it's just a resolution and we can do this from a Zoom meeting, and we could do Zoom meetings for resolutions if everybody decides, and we can do live in-person meetings for complex applications, I'm okay with that too.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, again, we should discuss it more with the entire board. We have a few members who aren't here. Just a quick poll. Has everyone been vaccinated? Anyone not vaccinated at this point and have concerns about being around others?
I'm not vaccinated, but I don't have concerns. I have a phobia with needles, but I don't care about being with anybody really.
I'm okay. Not vaccinated, but I had COVID recently. So I have what's equivalent to a vaccination, but I plan to get vaccinated in September so that I can have maximum immunity going through the next cycle.
Okay. Again, you know, it's, I want to make sure that all the board members are comfortable, with attending in person. I don't want to, you know, exclude anyone, who's
I don't know if anybody here has had COVID, but there's nobody on this board, and I'm confident that can't overcome it. The symptoms were mild and mostly scary because there was a lot of unknown, and I've been told for a year that if I get it, I'm going to die. But the symptoms they lasted 11 days, and I've never been ill for 11 days. But at no point did I ever feel that I was in danger.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Steve. Again, I think it's, you know, it's gotta be somewhat of a personal decision. What I'll do is first, I guess we should, inform everyone of the option. If we have an application in July, let's assess, you know, whether it's something fairly simple, you know, like, you know, shed or deck type thing or bulk variance. If it's anything complicated, then, you know, I think it might be appropriate to meet in person, Mr. Lambros's comments, which I agree with, by the way. So, you know, let's see how that goes for July and August. And, you know, again, if we have the option to do simple things in resolutions by Zoom, I'm not opposed to it, just because it saves everybody from having to travel and, you know, it just saves time. And so let me write an email to everyone and see if everyone would agree with that approach. And, we'll take it from there. All right. Any other new business or old business?
No? I do see members of the public. I don't know if you want to. Oh. Open it up, or there are
we should inform them. That was a question. Do members of the public get informed on these zoning officer appeals, Greg?
Yes.
Oh, they do. Oh, okay. Yeah. Didn't know. Yeah, we should open it to the public then if they have any questions about what you said. Whoever is in the public, if you want to say something or ask a question, please do so.
Who's from the public?
I thought the room spoke to you. That's a talk bridge.
Oh, there's someone here. Oh, it's a phone number. I didn't see there. Sir.
037?
Sir, in person with number 718 986 5037. We're done with the meeting. We did carry the application Young to next month. Do you have any? Are you here for that application?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, we wanted to hear. I believe that's the name. Yeah, Kevin Young's. Yeah, we wanted to hear what was discussed for the Kevin Young's application.
Okay, the applicant's attorney email the board asking to be carried to the next meeting, which will be July 23rd, 2021 at 7:30 p.m. So we heard no testimony today. That's when it should be heard again on the 23rd.
That's if it's heard at all. Again, the applicant is going to try and work out details with the zoning officer. And if they come to an agreement, I heard a bit of noise there. If they do come to an agreement, he may drop his appeal as well.
Well, we won't.
Okay, understood.
Okay. Was there anyone else from the public? I see another person out there. Not sure if it's the same person.
There's Michael Tice.
Looks like Michael Tixay, yes. Perhaps.
Yes.
Michael, as we butcher your name, we're done with the meeting. Do you have any questions or comments before we close the meeting? Or are you here for the young application?
I have another question, actually. Can I ask another question, actually, or a question?
Sure.
How would one go about, if they're meeting with the zoning officer, how does one go about setting a meeting with the zoning officer?
You could just call him and see what his hours are and whether he's meeting under COVID regulations. You just have to reach out to him.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the public?
Yeah, I'm just here for the young application.
Yeah, okay. That application, I don't know if you've heard me, that application is being carried to July 23rd at 7:30 p.m. The applicant's attorney advised us that you want it carried. He's going to submit revised plans to the zoning officer, attempt to resolve the issue. This matter may be withdrawn, but it's being carried right now. We didn't hear any testimony.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else out there?
If you're interested, come back on this on July 23rd.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you.
And again, check our agenda. If for some reason they work things out, it won't be on the agenda.
It'll say application withdrawn, so you don't have to worry about it.
But is that the only scenario that could happen? They withdraw and there's no other item on the agenda for this?
Well, no, they could next month. They may say, I'm proceeding with my appeal, and we'd hear the case.
I see. Okay. Is the application being revised? That's on file.
No, it's not an application like a regular application. Say it's an appeal of a zoning officer determination. So whatever they submitted to the zoning officer is what's before us. Those plans can't change before us because the zoning officer didn't review any changes.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Just one quick question or clarification. The meeting's July 28th, not July 23rd. Is that correct?
July 28th.
Hold on.
Let's get that right.
Sure you have the right date.
Well,
should be the fourth Wednesday in July, and I'm not sure which.
Oh, it's July 20. I had June up. June and July look very similar on my thing. It's July 28th, 2021. You are correct at 7:30. You are correct.
Okay. Well, thanks for correcting us on that.
My font is so big; there's only a JU, so that's all that fits in. So I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyone else from the public out there? If not, we'll close the public part of the meeting, and I don't think we have any old business. So at this point, I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Okay, and can we get a second?
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And all in favor? Aye.
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 All right. Meeting adjourned, and we'll see you all next month.
Have a great fourth.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Have a happy fourth.
Thank you guys for the kind words.
Get studying.
Yes. Back to the books.
It's my life.
Good luck.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Container now.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye.